The following is a presentation from the pulpit of Lancaster Baptist Church. For more audio and video content from our ministry, please visit lancasterbaptist.org.
Tonight, 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18, the Bible commands us, in everything, give thanks. Now, the church at Thessalonica was, of course, the model church in many senses of the word. It was a church there in northern Greece that had a testimony that was outstanding. It was a church that had been used of God to be a witness to all of the churches in its region. In fact, it was from them that the word of the Lord was sounded out throughout the regions beyond concerning the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Paul said, I didn't have to tell anyone really about you. Everyone knew that you were a great church. How many of you would agree with me? That's a good goal to have a good name like that as a church. That's the type of a name that Thessalonica had. They were a church in chapter 1 that was well known for their testimony. But right here at the end of this first letter to the Thessalonians are a series of commandments given by the Holy Spirit to shore up this church spiritually. And it doesn't matter how great a start a church has, what really matters is the way we finish for the Lord Jesus Christ. And many Christians will have a start, many churches have a great start, but Paul the Apostle is writing to commend them for their start, but also to sustain them so that they will have a great finish, a great testimony for the Lord. I believe you could liken this chapter to a mother or a father who has a son or daughter getting ready to go to college or getting ready to go out on their first date or friendship, acquaintance gathering, whatever you call it at your house, social event. But in those last moments before you send your children off to one of their first times away from home, you might give them several quick admonitions. You might very quickly say something like, don't forget to hold the door for her. Don't forget to call if you're going to be late. Don't forget to, check with the teacher when you get there. By the way, remember to have prayer for your meal. Put your napkin in your lap. Don't pick your nose at the table. Whatever you tell your kids. I don't know what it is that you give them as last minute instructions, but most parents will give something like that. Well, here is a Holy Spirit inspired last minute set of instructions for a church that had started out so well. And he says to them in verse number 15, see that none render evil for evil unto any man. In other words, don't get into the methodology of the unsafe world in your relationships. And he says, rejoice evermore. Keep on rejoicing. He tells them, pray without ceasing. And he's just kind of saying, don't forget some of the good things that you've been doing. You're off to a great start. Don't forget the good things that you've been doing. And then we come to this verse, in everything give thanks. In everything give thanks. You know, it's really sad to see that so many people in our country need a holiday to remember something that should be done every day. And it seems that more and more people are disgruntled in their relationships. They're questioning whether or not they really want to fulfill their commitments. And oftentimes, it's because we have become such a narcissistic society that we're concerned primarily with the idol of self, and we have forgotten to be grateful to God for His many blessings to us. I heard about a little fourth grade girl who was told that in her school, you couldn't really say a lot about giving thanks to God. You could say thank you to the teacher, you could say thank you to your friends, and so it came time to give a little talk about Thanksgiving, and she stood up in front of her class and she said, well, the pilgrims came here seeking freedom of you know what. And when they landed, they gave thanks to you know who. Because of this, we can worship every Sunday you know where. And that's kind of how she expressed her faith. She wasn't sure exactly what she could say. Well, I want you to know tonight that God wants us emphatically to give Him thanks for His blessings to us. And you can do that in front of people who don't know the Lord. We should do that with our children. We should do that in our church house. We should give thanks to the Lord for His many blessings to us. I heard about a husband who brought his wife a beautiful coat for Christmas. He laid it under the tree. It was made out of a skunk skin. It had black and white stripes, and he laid it there at the bottom of the tree. And when his wife saw it, she looked at it and she said, "I just can't see how such a nice coat comes from such a smelly little beast." And the husband said, "You know, I don't ask for thanks, but a little respect wouldn't hurt anything." Now, God wants us to live with a gratitude attitude. And I want to just challenge you tonight with this fact. I can't emphasize it enough. I have seen more Christians fall away from fellowship because of this sin than perhaps any other sin. Sometimes people, you know, we think of the big sins. We think, boy, this guy fell away because he broke his vows with his wife, and this guy fell away because he did this real bad sin. He went back to the bottle, or he did this. And we think about some of the high-profile sins. By the way, how many of you know that in God's economy, sin is sin, right? But I tell you that more people fall away from fellowship with the Lord because of this sin of ingratitude. Ingratitude is so linked to pride. And the reason that we oftentimes are not grateful is because we become autonomous in our own thinking that we can make it on our own. And subconsciously, if you want to know whether or not you're being filled with pride, you can directly link it to how thankful you are in expressing your thanks to the Lord. And if you can go great periods of time in your week without thanking God for His blessings in your life, there's a strong indication that pride is creeping into your heart. Because every good and perfect gift cometh down from above. If you can eat your meals without giving thanks, if you can get a paycheck without giving thanks, if you can see your wife and children without giving thanks, if you can go through your normal day without really being thankful to the Lord, you're setting yourself up. Let he that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. And so tonight, I want you to notice in your outline the command for thanksgiving. It says here, in everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. And we are commanded here, obviously, to be thankful, and we're commanded here to give thanks in everything. And so I want you to notice, first of all, that this thanksgiving is to be continual. It's in the present tense. It's something that God wants constantly from His children. I don't know about you, but when we were raising our children, if they would have just said thank you to us maybe on their birthday, I probably would have thought, boy, we got a problem here. And God wants to hear thank you more than just on Thanksgiving Day. He wants us in everything, constantly, continually, to give thanks. Psalm 146 in verse 2, it says, "While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being." The psalmist said, as long as I've got breath, He's going to get my praise. I'm going to let Him know that I'm thankful to Him. Revelation tells us in chapter 4 and verse number 8, "And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to Him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever." You see, for all of eternity, we're going to be giving thanks to the Lord for what He's done for us. And God says, I don't want you to wait until eternity to start giving thanks. I want you to give thanks in everything, whatever circumstance, I want you to learn to give thanks. Now, if you're like me, there are circumstances that come into our lives, and our first response is not thanks. Our first response is to complain. Our first response is to sometimes feel as though somehow we were let down. But in reality, God says, even then, I want you to thank me for the goodness and the grace that I've given to you. And so He says, I want you to be continual with your thanks. Now, let me give you two ways that we can give our thanks. First of all, we can give thanks with our mouth or with our lips. Hebrews 13:15 says, "By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name." All right? And I believe that's in your notes, Hebrews 13:15. So let's look at that verse and let's read that verse together. Ready, begin. "By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name." So God says one of the ways you can continually give thanks is with your lips. It's by what you're saying to the Lord. and he says, this is a sacrifice that we make. Now, we won't take time to go to 1 Peter, but for those of you that are new Christians, some of you may have come out of a context where you were told that if you wanted to confess sin or you wanted to get your prayers up to God, then you would go and tell the priest, and the priest would say those prayers for you. But the truth is, from the Bible, that now that you're saved, you can go directly to God in prayer through the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible refers to us as believer priests. In other words, you don't need a priest to say your prayers for you. How many of you are glad for that? I know some priests we ought to pray for, if you want to put it that way, but I don't have to go to a priest and ask a priest to get my prayers up there. I can come directly to God with my prayers. And prayer is primarily supplication or asking God for help, but prayer is also praising God and thanking God for what He has given to me. Years ago, I taught a little pattern on prayer to our church, and we used the acrostic for the word ACTS, A-C-T-S. And I gave a little pattern of prayer for those who were learning about prayer, and it started with A for adoration, C for confession, T for thanksgiving, and S for supplication. And a part of prayer is thanksgiving. And it says in Hebrews 13:15, by Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise. So as a believer priest, I can offer a sacrifice to God. And I can offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. So God tells us in several places in the Scripture, I want to hear from you, I want you to be thankful, and I want you from your lips continually to give thanks to God. I think it's a wonderful thing when our children from an early age hear us giving thanks, because they're watching us profess to them that there is a higher authority, that this that we're about to eat, that this that we're driving in, that these blessings that have come to us are not from ourselves, but that they are from God. And what a blessing to be able to teach them to give thanks. Our grandchildren, Camden and Delaney, they're learning how to pray. They're not even saved yet. But it's a blessing to see them bow and to hear them pray. They want to take over and pray, and sometimes they pray for some strange things. But it's still good that they like to pray and that they're acknowledging to the Lord that there is a provision that's coming from Him. Spurgeon said, when we bless God for mercies, we usually prolong them. When we bless God for miseries, we usually end them. Praise is the honey of life which a devout heart extracts from every bloom of providence and grace. And so with our lips, we praise the Lord. Every time we have opportunity, we ought to praise the Lord. Last night, I was holding Camden out in our front yard, and we were looking up at the sky, and boy, the sky was so clear, and you could see the stars so clearly. And I said, look at the stars up there. And Camden looked up there, and he said, but Papa, I can't see Jesus. And he's trying to figure out where Jesus is. But I tell you, I'm thankful that the little guy has a heart to know Jesus and a heart to try to understand where Jesus is. And we need to teach from a very early age thanksgiving and gratitude and the presence and the supply of God. With our lips, we can teach these things. Let me tell you another way you can give thanks: with your livelihood. We can give thanks from our heart. Hebrews 13:16 says, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. One of the ways that we give thanks is when we communicate. And the word Hebrews 13:16, the word communicate, is a word that means to give in the sense of giving from our abundance to God. Philippians 4:15 is in your notes. Now, ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. And one of the ways that the church expressed their thanks was by giving. That's why I believe one of the most scriptural offerings we have is a thanksgiving offering. It's a way not only with my lips to say, I love Jesus, but it's a way with my life and my livelihood to say, Lord, from my abundance, I want to give to you. I want to show you thanks for what you have done for me. Generosity and gratitude then are really inseparable. You cannot say to someone you love, continuously how much you love them without wanting to do something for them. To show them how much you love them is a wonderful desire that you have. And even when you can't give all that you want to give, when you love someone, you wish you could give them more. And one of the ways we give thanks is with our livelihood. And so God says, I want you to do this continually. God says, I want you to do this unconditionally. He says, notice in verse 18, our text tonight, he says, in everything give thanks. In everything give thanks. It's to be a constant giving of thanks. It's to be an unconditional giving of thanks. It's to be an expression of our inner heart, constantly and unconditionally saying, Lord, I thank you for what you're doing. I thank you for what you've given to me. I love this quote by Henry Ward Beecher. He said, a proud man is seldom a grateful man, for he never thinks he gets as much as he deserves. Let me tell you something I've learned about trying to work with someone who's filled up with pride. You can never satisfy them. You can never satisfy them. You try to give them a little bit, it's not enough. You try to give them some time, it's not enough. You try to give them some substance, it's not enough. You give an opportunity to testify, it's not enough. Opportunity to sing in the choir, not enough. And Henry Ward Beecher said, a proud man is seldom a grateful man, for he never thinks he gets as much as he deserves. He always thinks he's ripped off in this life. But I got to tell you something, a grateful man never feels that way about it. And hear me, my grandmother taught this little phrase to me years ago, and it's helped me for many years. The foundation of gratitude is the expectation of nothing. Let's say that together. The foundation of gratitude is the expectation of nothing, all right? The foundation of gratitude is the expectation of nothing. And so a lot of times I'll hear about someone who says, well, I'm just going to leave my family. It's because he went into that family relationship not thinking of what he could give to his family, not being thankful for his family, but what he would try to get out of his family. And he had an unmet expectation. And whenever we think of what we're going to get out of something, that's the opposite of gratitude. Gratitude, the foundation of gratitude is the expectation of nothing. And so we want to have a truly grateful heart. And the grateful heart say this, Lord, I don't deserve anything but eternity in hell. Are you with me tonight? A grateful heart says, I don't deserve anything but eternity in hell. I think that's in the Bible. The wages of sin is what? But the gift of God is what? Eternal life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. So Lord, I give you thanks tonight because I don't deserve you. I don't deserve heaven, but you've given this to me so abundantly and I thank you for it. And so he says, give thanks. It's to be an unconditional thanks expressed from our inward heart to the Lord. And he says, in everything, give thanks. Notice what Tozer said. I believe there's a quote there. Gratitude is an offering precious in the sight of God, and it is one that the poorest of us can make and not be poorer, but richer for having made it. And what a wonderful thing to give thanks to the Lord for His many blessings. The Bible says in James 1:17, every good and perfect gift cometh down from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And so God says, I want you to realize every blessing that you have comes from me. Psalm 145:3, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise Thy works to another and shall declare Thy mighty acts. And so God says, I want you to be thankful for every blessing that has been given. And giving thanks to the Lord is a commandment. In everything give thanks, give it continually, and give it from your heart unto the Lord. I heard about a lady who said to her pastor, Pastor, thank you for that helpful sermon. He said, oh, don't thank me. Just thank the Lord. She said, well, I thought about it, but it wasn't quite that good. And so she didn't give thanks to the Lord for it, but at least she was thankful to the pastor. But I'm telling you, there's something you can be thankful for every single day. How many of you today can like me, count your blessings and name them one by one? Amen? Now, just think about it for just a moment. How many of you are thankful for your salvation? All right. If you're a parent, how many of you are thankful for your children? All right. Kids, look at, they raise their hands. They really do love you. I want you to take note of that. Okay? All right? We ought to be thankful tonight for our country. You say, well, I'm sad about things in our country, and I am too. but I'd still much rather live here than Afghanistan. I'm still very thankful for my country tonight. We ought to be thankful tonight for the Bible, the Word of God. I want to say tonight how thankful I am for the Lancaster Baptist Church. There's not another church in all the world that I would rather attend. Not just be the pastor of, be a member of. I love the Lancaster Baptist Church. I love the people of this church. I love what God's doing in this church. I love what happened here Sunday night. I thank the Lord for the Lancaster Baptist Church, for the grace, for the love, for the balance, for the people, for the missionary heart, for all the great things that God is doing. I give Him thanks. And what a blessing to know that God is at work. There's so many things to be thankful for. And God says, I want you to thank me for the blessings. But now here's the hard one, and perhaps you knew this was coming, because it does say, in everything give thanks. Did you see that? In everything give thanks. So God says, I don't want you just to thank me for the good stuff. I want you to thank me for the tough stuff. I want you to thank me for the tough stuff. In everything, I want you to give thanks. Now, how many of you would say, that's where the Christian life really gets tough for me, to give thanks for the hard times? Well, look in your notes at Job chapter 1 and verse 20. It says, then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped. And he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Now, Job is a tremendous example to all of us as to someone that still worshiped God in the midst of his trial. Someone who still was able to come to the Lord with a heart of worship. You know, it's an amazing thing that when the trials mount up and the pressures mount up, it's sometimes hard to worship God. When in fact, God wants to use those events to bring us closer to a place of worship. He wants us to come under the shadow of the Most High and seek His face. And He says, in everything, give thanks. In Ephesians 5, He says this, verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I don't profess to be an expert at this in my own life every single time. I profess to you to be a growing Christian and trying to grow in grace and asking the Lord to help in this matter. But God says, I want you to know that I'm sovereign and that in my providential dealings with you, I'm always good. How many of you understand that God is always good? And He says, based upon my character, I want you to be giving thanks to me because of your belief in who I am. I remember years ago we drove up to the Redwood Forest. Some of you who are real good at California geography can verify this, but I believe the Redwood Forest is way north of San Francisco, and the giant redwood trees are in Sequoia National Park. Would that be correct, Brother Rupert? So the Redwood Forest is up north of Santa Rosa, way up towards Oregon somewhere. And all I remember was we took our family on a vacation, and that was the year we were just going to go all around California. And so we went up to San Francisco, the Golden Gate Bridge, and we went up to the Redwood Forest, and we went to Sacramento to see the Capitol, and over to Lake Tahoe and back home. And as we were going up to the Redwood Forest, we came into a little town called Fortuna. It was settled by German and Swiss dairymen who had gone in and settled this very nicely pastured area. It was a beautiful little town. They had little gift shops along the main street. I'll never forget the gift shops. We were inside looking at the gifts, and I turned around out of the corner of my eye, and Matthew, our youngest son, was twirling around like this in the street, and as he was twirling around, a car was coming that didn't see him, and I remember grabbing him at the last minute, pulling him out of the traffic, and just about scared us all to death. He was quite alarmed when I grabbed him and was telling him, stay out of the street, stay out of the street. When I grabbed him, there was a dead frog right on the asphalt. I said, Matthew, do you see that frog right there? That frog disobeyed his mommy and daddy. Matthew looked up at me like, no way, And it was a great visual illustration. But we went from the gift shops on up to the graveyard of Fortuna. And I don't know why. I don't think I have a morbid personality, but whenever I get to old historic towns, I like to see what people write on those tombstones.
You can find out a lot about the history of a place that way. And we began to see a lot of the scriptures on those tombstones. But we came to one, and it had two headstones, one little burial plot. And the first one was for a young woman that was around 21, 22 years of age. They had a scripture there, and the date of her birth and the date of her death. And right next to hers was the tombstone for a little boy, her same last name, and the same date of death. It was a mother and a son. And on the tombstone were written these words, "We cannot, Lord, thy purpose see, but all is well that is done by thee." We cannot, Lord, thy purpose see, but all is well that is done by thee. I don't know how many years it took that dad and that husband to really come to grips with what God had done, but I would say that he was well underway even then to recognize that God had a purpose and that God had a plan. And so God says, I want you, no matter what's going on in your life, to see my hand, and I want you to trust my way. And he says, I want you to see the command for thanksgiving. Then notice secondly tonight, the consolation of thanksgiving. The consolation of thanksgiving. Notice if you would, back in verse 18, it says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. All right? So sometimes people come to me and they say, Pastor Chappell, I'd like to get some counsel about discerning God's will. Okay? And sometimes people come and they already have their plan made and they're not really getting counsel, but some people really want God's will for their life, and they're willing to study the scriptures and wait and pray and seek counsel. And so this is one of the verses that I'll often share with someone because it definitively says what is God's will. And I'll often say to them, look, I don't know if you should buy a Chevy or a Ford. I mean, I think it should be a Ford, but I can't show you the Bible verse for that. You know, I don't know exactly what you should do about this business deal, but I know this, that in everything you need to give thanks to the Lord. And if you're not being thankful right now, and if you're about to make this decision because you're ticked off, and if you're about to switch careers and you're about to do this or that because of your emotions, it is very possible that you're about ready to get out of God's will. So make sure that where you're at right now, in the situation you're at right now, that you are truly thankful to God for what you have right now. Because it's God's will. You asked me for God's will. It's God's will that in everything you're giving thanks. So the Bible says, I'm commanding you, God says, to give thanks. And then there's a consolation. So the first consolation is that gratitude is central to being in the will of God. It's central to God's will. And if you want to make sure that you are right with the Lord and that you're staying in the Lord's will, make sure you have the gratitude attitude. A lot of times when I talk to people and counsel with people, as I did this morning with one gentleman just over the internet who sent a question in, one of the things I'll say is this. Make sure, no matter what's going on in your life, that you keep a right spirit. All right? Teenagers that are here tonight, let me say that to you. No matter what's going on in your life, guard your spirit, guard your heart. Because when people get a bad spirit, it usually results in a bad attitude. It results in an ungrateful attitude. And suddenly, decisions that are being made are not the right decisions. And so, God says, I want you to know that if you're going to stay in my will, you're going to stay with a gratitude attitude. Psalm 107, verse 2, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. God says, I want you to be saying what you're thankful for. I want you to know this is my will for you. So gratitude is central to staying in the will of God. If we're not grateful about a situation, we're likely going to react in the flesh and get out of the will of God. If you follow that, say amen. All right. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Pastor, what's the will of God? Well, I don't know exactly, you know, what your address should be, but I know this. In your heart, God wants you to be grateful for what you have right now. Okay. I often tell that to our students about our gymnasium because I pray every day for a new gymnasium. But I often say this. If we're not thankful for this one, if we're not taking care of this one, God's not going to give us the new one. God wants us to be content and grateful for what we have right now. Gratitude is central to God's will. Secondly, gratitude is essential to Christ-likeness. Gratitude is essential to Christ-likeness. Now, over in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we find the directions for the Lord's table. And the Apostle Paul is writing there under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he says, "That which I received of the Lord have I also given to you." And he says, the same night in which he had broke bread, he take it, and you know the story. He said, "I want you to receive this. It's to remind you of the body and the blood that was the body that was broken, the blood that was shed." But there's a little phrase in there that always arrests my attention, and the phrase is the phrase of Jesus Christ. And this is what he said. What the scriptures say. The scriptures say, "And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, 'This is my body which is broken for you.'" So Jesus on that Passover night with his disciples, just as he was going to be betrayed by Judas, let's just think of the context of that. He's about to be betrayed by Judas, one of his own disciples. And if you ever have a friend that betrays you, if you ever have somebody that breaks their word to you, just remember, Jesus has been there too. How many of you are thankful we have a priest tested in all points like we are? So here he is, about to be betrayed, about to be crucified, but listen to those words again. "And when he had given thanks, he brake it." Would you say that with me? "And when he had given..." So gratitude is essential to being like Jesus Christ, because he gave thanks at the hardest moment of his earthly life. Paul the Apostle teaches us this as well. "Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place." Paul, who suffered more than we could possibly imagine, he was beaten by rods, he was shipwrecked, he was snake-bitten, he was stoned and left outside of Lystra for dead, and yet he says in 2 Corinthians 2:14, "Thanks be unto God, thanks be unto God." And I don't know about you, but when someone's saying thanks be unto God with scars like that in their body, it's a tribute to the grace of God in their life. Thanks be unto God. 1 Corinthians 15:57, "But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." So in verse 18, when it says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." God's word is telling us this is God's will. This is the Christ-like life that is concerning you and the way that we should live. Notice in your notes, Psalm 100 and verse 4. "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name." Would you read that verse 4 with me, please? Ready to begin. "Enter into his gates You know, I'm convinced that oftentimes we get as much out of church as we bring to church. In other words, we got to bring more than our Bible to church. We got to bring a grateful heart to church. And a lot of Baptists, when they come to church, they're coming in grumbling and mumbling about the traffic. They're coming in. The Bible says, when you enter into his gates, enter in with thanksgiving. When you walk into those doors, someone says, "Hey, how you doing?" "Hey, I'm doing good now. I'm in church. I'm alive and in one piece. Glad to be here." You know, the last thing that we need are ushers that sit in the back and kind of grumble and mumble. That's going to quench the Holy Spirit. Last thing we need are people that just on their heart is always what's wrong and what's bad. God says, when you come into my house, when you enter into my gates, enter in with thanksgiving. You know, we ought to practice that. Just a good word. Just a good word. Trying to say something good about the Lord, about church, about salvation, and what he's done. God says, if you want to be like my son, then enter into the gates with thanksgiving and enter into the courts with praise. And you know, how many of you agree with me? If you just walk right in and take a quick look at that cross, you've got something to be thankful for. There's just something to be thankful for. And this old world is filled with picketers and rioters and demonstrators and all different kinds of disgruntled people. Listen, when we come into God's house, we ought to go, "Whoa, thank you, Lord, that I can be in your house. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole." And I believe tonight that's what God wants us to bring to his house. He says, "I want you to come into my house with thanksgiving on your heart." And I want you to turn to one verse as I close tonight, 1 Corinthians 9:15. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15. 1 Corinthians 9:15. And here's what it says. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Let's say that together. Thanks be unto God. One more time. Thanks be unto God. No matter what's going on in your life, you can always give thanks to God for his unspeakable gift. You know what the unspeakable gift is, don't you? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. His unspeakable gift. You can give thanks to God tonight if you're saved, because if you're saved, you're a child of the King. If you're saved, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Your sins are as far as the east is from the west. You are accepted in the Beloved. You have a friend in Jesus. You are a joint heir with Jesus. You have an inheritance reserved in heaven for you tonight. That's the consolation of thanksgiving. It is that you are in the will of God, living a Christ-like life, and that you have all the blessings of God that are promised to you in Jesus Christ. And so tonight, the command is clear. The command is clear: in everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. And the consolation is clear: for this is the will of God concerning you. And you can know that when you have a grateful heart, you are very likely within the realm of God's will at that moment in your life, because it is God's will that we would have a grateful heart. And may God be honored and glorified with the gratitude of our heart as we move around through this week. May we give glory and honor to Him. Here's what I'd like to do tonight before we pray. I'd like some of you men, especially, and some of you ladies, not necessarily the students of the college, but I'd like you to think of something you're thankful for tonight in one word. We're going to do one word. I know how Baptists are. If you say, just take a minute, 10 minutes later we're hearing about Aunt Susie and Uncle Sal and back in the day and so forth. But just think about a word tonight. And it's okay if some people say the same word twice. It's okay. But the Bible says in everything, give thanks. God wants us to be thankful and to show our gratitude to Him. And I tell you, I was giving a devotion to the staff this afternoon, and I read Psalm 105 and verse 2. Sing unto Him, sing psalms unto Him, talk ye of all His wondrous works. Talk ye of all His wondrous works. How many of you agree with me there's too much negative talking in the world today? Some of you didn't agree with me. I'll try that again. How many of you agree with me? There's too many negative talkers in the world today. Just negative, negative, negative. And some of them are called Baptists. I'm not just talking about the talk shows you listen to all day long that just get you all riled up, you know. But it's good when there's a good word to say. I wonder tonight, who'd say, boy, I've got something I'm thankful for. And don't be embarrassed about it at all. Who wants to just stand up, some of you men, some of you ladies. Something I'm thankful, just real quick, right here. Grace, in the back, one word. Her husband, wonderful, one word. Who else? Over here. Testing, amen.
Peace.
Serving, amen, good. Who else has something they're thankful for? Yes. God bless you. God bless you, amen. Who else? Family. That's good. There ought to be more than one man in here thankful for their family. Amen.
Salvation.
Salvation. Salvation. Amen. God's love.
Long-suffering.
God's long-suffering. What else are we thankful for?
Great job.
A job. Wonderful.
Friends.
Patience.
Health.
Everybody here ought to be thankful for these things. Who else? Something you're thankful for tonight. Just something that God's given to you and done for you.
Joy.
A ride. Good. A place to live. Wonderful. Who else?
Children.
Good. Who else? Something you're thankful for. Yes. Good. Wonderful. Over here.
Fellowship.
Excellent. Who else has something they're thankful for? All right. Anybody else? Right back here. Wonderful. His wife. Good. Amen. Jesus. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Right back here. The Bible. Praise the Lord. Who else? Come on. Some of you big brawny men, some of you guys that know all the judo and everything. Come on. We can say something for the Lord here.
Forgiveness.
What's that? Forgiveness. Amen. Wonderful. Forgiveness. Church. Who else? Family. Good. Wonderful. Anybody else thankful tonight? Brother Gary? Eternal life. A heritage in the Lord. Good. Wonderful. Person, that's not one word. That was four words, but I'm glad you're thankful. John? Answer, that was two words. That's not bad for a bus captain. Okay. Wonderful. Wonderful. Clyde? Come on, one word. I want to hear it, Clyde.
Ministry.
Ministry. There you go. I know you. All right, good. I pray with you on Saturday morning, so right over here. Trials. God bless you, brother. Glad you're here. Just out of the hospital, giving thanks.
Godly
heritage.
Unchanging God.
Unchanging God. Amen.
The Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Heaven.
Hey, that's a good one.
Freedom.
Good. Just back from Afghanistan. You appreciate it. Our country.
Soul winners.
Good. That's good. Let me just tell you, folks. Every one of us ought to take some time to just think about all of the blessings of God, to say forth the works of God and what he's done for us. And the psalmist said it best, talk ye of his wondrous works. Can I encourage you and your family this week? Talk him up. Talk up the great things that God has done for you.
Thank you so much for joining us today. If this message has helped you, we hope you will share with a friend or family member. We always love to hear from those whom God has changed through his word. Share your story with us at lancasterbaptist.org/contact.